on, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Talk to your classmates.
Like you said, it was similar to the
Yeah. Did I make the rest of you guys all do it because Hillary did it? I'm sorry, Hillary. It was. I actually thought about that when I was making the decision. I bet Hillary's already done this problem. But then I thought, well, I bet nobody else has. Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just a sad thing. I wish I'd come up with a better problem. That's what I wish. But, you know, I can't remember from one day to the next what problems I've assigned. Okay, the good news is no homework today. Okay, there's also this free for all. You can turn in any old hallmarks or labs or whatever, you know, up to the exam for no lost credit. So, I think most of the people here, you know, aren't going to gain too much from that. It's those guys that aren't here. What do I do about those guys? I don't know. What are you doing in Snowball 4?
He's having us write language parsers.
No. I see.
He had us do this one with the rules instead of just using the grammar functions.
When I was
adding code like in C++.
Yeah.
It's getting smaller. It's so frustrating.
So will the BJTs, RTLs, and JFETs be on the exam?
BJTs and diodes, but all the stuff today won't be on the exam. This exam, okay. So this is chapter 5. This is a new type of transistor. Works on a different principle than the other kind of transistors. So, J, these are known as JFETs. JFET. Okay. That's the acronym here.
Yeah.
was an exam on Friday, of course. All of you guys remember that, I'm sure. If you would like, I can print out some a PDF of the notes for those people who want one. I neglected to think about that last night. But do I have people that want a copy of the PDF here? You know, it looks kind of like, I mean, if you want a paper copy, I can make you one. But anyway, it's there if you want to study it. So today we get to go on to chapter 5, which is new transistors. Hillary. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Cheat sheet. Well, you know, I'm willing to try it this time. So let's not make it too big. How big shall I make it? Three by five card. Is that okay? You think that would help you? 3x5 card.
One side or both sides?
You can do both sides. I suppose you can bring your microscope, too. But you know. Okay, cheat sheet allowed. Three inches by 5 inches, both sides. Yeah, better tell Trevor. I don't know whether he's watching the lectures or listening to things or not. I don't know. He hasn't complained about the one I forgot yesterday or Monday, I guess it was. So I'm a little worried. Anyway. And, you know, there's some other people that don't come like Alex. And he said he was looking at the stuff. So maybe he is. We'll see. I probably should warn him, too. Anyway, here we have it. This is a piece of N silicon, and then they dope P. You can kind of think about this P as like a belt around this thing, if you want to think of this as a cylinder and a cross-section. Or you can think of it in one dimension. It's just like this, you know, it's just like this for some chunk. Either way, it would work, okay? And basically, what we're going to do here is we're going to use, this looks like a PN junction, right? Actually, sometimes people use these for diodes because they are optimized for absolutely no reverse current, you know, no reverse saturation current, this current that comes from minority carriers. They really work on that hard because what we'd like with a field effect transistor is we'd like a transistor that instead of being controlled by current, you know, like a BJT, you put a little base current in, it makes a big collector current. We'd like a thing that's controlled by voltage. The reason you'd like that is because it doesn't draw very much from whatever you're hooking it up to. So you can hook it up to a high impedance source, and it will still work pretty nice, right? Or if you're doing this with a processor or something, you don't have to, you know, have a lot of current to drive the thing, and since it's, you know, you're basically processing information, you know, ones and zeros, you don't want to spend a lot of, power, which heats up your processor on stuff like that. They don't actually use these JFETs in processors, and in some ways, these JFETs, they're actually getting to be kind of a little bit of a novelty item at this point. I mean, there are still some manufacturers that make them, and they're very good for some certain applications, but they are not the really common field effect transistor. The reason I want to start out with JFETs is because it's easier to understand the other ones if you start with understanding JFETs. They're just a little easier to understand. And once you get the idea from JFETs, I think the other ones will be, you know, easier to follow. So what we want to do, first of all, is look at the physics of this JFET. So the physics of it. Well, here's what we want to do. You want to think about this as actually, they call this the channel here, okay? And this is an N-channel device. You can see it says N-channel here. That means that the current is going to flow. It's going to flow from source to drain, you know, kind of like, you know, plumbing works, right? It flows from the faucet down the drain, right? I mean, we've all done that before. And so this is the source, that's the faucet, and that's the drain. Now, really, maybe I should turn this upside down, but because water flows downhill, but this is the way everybody kind of draws it. You know, you almost always, you put the high voltage at the top here, right? It's actually, in this case, the things that are going are electrons, right? But the current is going to go that way, okay? So the electrons are going up this way from the source to the drain, but the current is flowing the other way, okay? Because we do this funny business, you know. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to modulate that current by putting an external voltage on, okay? And you can kind of think about this as like, you know, a squishable pipe. Because if I put a reverse bias voltage on here, which we'll call this voltage here, VGS for V gate to source, okay? If I put a VGS on here, where VGS is less than zero, okay? Maybe less than or equal to zero, okay? Then what's going to happen is it's going to reverse bias this PN junction here, right? So it makes it like a diode, a reverse bias diode. Now, when you have a reverse bias diode, remember there's this interesting thing that happens here. If I make this guy, you know, negative, that's what I'm doing. It sucks all the holes up over here, right? Right next to the thing. Yeah, right. They're just sucked up over there. They're, you know, attracted to this, you know, source of electrons here. And, you know, likewise, the electrons are kind of, you know, they like being more over in the middle here. They don't like being close to that. But there's this thing we have that forms here. It's a depletion region kind of forms right here. Like something like that on both sides. And this depletion region right here is a place where there's no carriers, right? That's what the depletion region was. It was a place where there were no male men kind of thing, no male women either. So, you know, it's just, there's a place there that's an insulator, right? And so if you think about this thing, by changing this VGS, I can change the width of that depletion region. If I turn it really big, negative big, then it's gonna like pinch off the channel. I mean, you can see it kind of squeezing. The resistance of a resistor is like L, the length of the resistor, you know, divide by sigma, which is the conductivity, divide by the area, the cross-sectional area. If you make the cross-sectional area really small, you know, it's like the pipe. You kind of squeeze this thing off, right? You can choke it off. Or you can, you know, open it up and let more through, right? Does that make sense? So if we look at the IV characteristic of this transistor, this is VDS. That would be the voltage from, I'll just put these out here, plus minus VDS. That's drain to source, okay? Over here, this would be VDS right here. And then there's a current coming down here. I'm going to call that ID. I'm going to put that on this axis right here, ID. And so here's ID over here in this picture. And remember, ID is really electrons going that way. But we've got this ID versus VDS. And if you look at what happens here, you can make these things so they look kind of like, you know, you can cut it off right here, right? You can adjust it, you know, kind of like this by changing VGS, right? And this would be maybe VGS equals zero right here on this upper one right here. And this will be VGS equals, say, minus 4 or something. And we'll define that as, well, I don't want to define minus 4 as V pinch off. But VGS is pinching off the channel. So I'm going to call that minus V pinch off, okay, VP. So it just kind of totally squeezed it shut, okay? And of course, there's no current flowing then, right? So we've got a thing where we can change the amount of resistance here by squeezing the thing or letting it loose. Now, if you've noticed, I haven't put any big VDS on here yet, right? I kind of have VDS here as about zero in my picture. The reason you can tell it's zero is because, you see, if VDS was positive, then the drain here would be more positive than the source, right? Which in the gate, of course, is lower than that, right? So it would be maybe pinched off kind of like this down here, but it would be pinched off more up here, right? Because it would be the gate to drain voltage would be greater than the gate to source voltage, more negative, right? I mean, it would reverse bias this part bigger than this part if that guy is positive, right? Because this guy here is like at minus 2 volts or something, right? This is at 0, and if that were at 10, well then, shoot, I've pinched off the top, right? Does that make sense? So what happens, and I don't know, I guess I left a pile of pens here so I would have some colors, and it looks like the only one left is the blue one. Oh well, so what? I'll have to use blue, I guess. So what happens is, if VDS is larger, it's kind of going to go, you know, it's going to pinch off right here, right? And maybe it'll pinch off all the way, and then it'll kind of come down like this, and this will be, you know, for bigger. This is VDS greater than zero, okay, bigger, right? So what I'm saying is, as we move along over here, there's two effects going on, right? As I increase VDS on, say, you know, this curve right here, what's going to happen is, you know, it's going to go up until it starts getting pinched off. And then as it gets pinched off at the top, what's going to happen? It's going to, you know, a little bit level off like that, right? And actually, there's two competing mechanisms going on. As I make VDS bigger, it's pulling harder, right? I mean, because it's more downhill. But on the other hand, it pinched off more of the channel. And so you got these two competing things, and what happens is if you actually look at the curves, they actually kind of look pretty flat. They're a tiny bit of, you know, up part, but they kind of look about like what I drew here, and you can see them on the curve tracer when we, you know, go up to the lab and actually look at some of these, okay? And so, you know, you end up with stuff like this, and of course this one right here just kind of stays on the bottom. You know, you can increase VDS, but it's pinched off all the way, and it just nothing goes, right? And this one here, you know, it probably goes up a ways before it pinches off, and it looks more like that, okay? So this is VGS equals zero. This guy might be VGS equals, say, minus 1. VGS equals minus 2. Oops, I meant to make this 3. Is that all right? Because I only see 0, minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. Yeah, I forgot that was not going to count as one of them. And so this guy right here is VGS equals, oh, you already got it right here. So I can put it again. VGS equals minus V pinch off equals minus 3 in this case, right? So And I don't know whether I should call it minus. Maybe it's just V pinch off. Let's just call it V pinch off. I think that's what they do. Okay, so here we have VGS equals 0 up here. And if we look at over there, we call this point right here, this thing that it goes up to, IDSS. And we never really want to make VGS bigger than 0 because then we'd forward bias this PN junction. We'd have gate current flowing, and we don't want gate current flowing. That's the control port, right? The gate is the thing. Yeah, we don't want any gate current flowing, right? In fact, I didn't even bother last time when we did the BJTs. What did I do? First thing I did was look at the base emitter junction, right? Mm-hmm. And we did the IV characteristic for that. Well, in this case, the IV characteristic for that is particularly uninteresting, but actually very nice. Because it's no current. It's no connection. It's just a wire coming here, and you just, you know, you've got some voltage there, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of what happens with a JFET. Now, if you notice here, there's the region over here. The region over there, we call that region, it kind of goes up like this. This region is called saturation or...
All of them are flat?
Yeah.
They're flat, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or beyond pinch-off. I like beyond pinch off because it's more descriptive. Okay, basically it means the top, the drain to gate junction is pinched off, right? And I don't like saturation as much because you get it mixed up with BJTs, and saturation, you know, kind of means, you know, I mean, it means two different things. It's not the same thing in a BJT, saturation would occur over here, right? So. But anyway, that's what they call it, saturation. So you got to know that. I didn't invent that word, but I like the beyond pinch off better. And this part over here, where it's actually acting down here, this is ohmic, and or sometimes called triode region.
Why triode?
The reason it's called triode, I think, is because before they invented field effect transistors, there were things called tubes, and there was a tube called a triode, which had three elements, you know, vacuum tube. It's a glass envelope. They suck the air out of it, and they have a little cathode that they boil off electrons, and then they have a plate that the electrons go sailing through to. And what they would do is they'd put a little grid in between, just a little screen, that they'd put a negative voltage on that. And it would act very similar to the JFET over here in this triode region. So, you know, it would, as you change the negative gate voltage right here, you could change, you know, which one of these kind of curves you were on. So you'd have a bunch of curves kind of going up like this that you would kind of change the, you know. So they kind of called it the triode region. This looks more like a triode over here. Actually, this is more what they wish a triode looked like over here on the beyond pinch off. But, you know, you take what you get, especially when you're an inventor and you're making something. And there's a lot of radios and things made with tubes. So I guess what we need is some equations now. So some of these equations are actually, you know, kind of the beginning one. You will actually derive this equation in physical electronics, okay? But I'm just going to give it to you because... You know, we're kind of just trying to work with the devices. We're not actually looking so much as to how this happens. But I do want you to have the gut feeling for what happens here physically. You know, it's pinched off and that kind of thing. How, you know, the basics of how it works, because that's very helpful. But, you know, be able to write down the, you know, Newton's laws and everything, come up with these equations, that's not quite so necessary. So in the triode region... or ohmic, in the ohmic region, or triode region, I'll just call it triode here. In the triode region. ID equals some K times, okay, let's see. VGS minus V pinch off times VDS minus VDS I think it's like squared over 2 or something. I have to think about this for a minute. I think that's it's kind of like that. Or maybe you put a 2 here and get rid of the VDS and change the K a little bit. I think. So let's find out what this is. Really, what this is supposed to be, if you look at this graph right here, if I pick a VGS, let's just pick VGS equal to 0, okay? And that's this one right here, okay? What this is supposed to be is this is supposed to be an upside-down parabola, which would go over like that, okay? But of course, once you get out of the triode region, this part of the parabola is not valid because this is only in the triode region, right? And this place that moves up, as you change VGS, VGS equals 0 would be over here further, and VGS equals minus something would be, you know, back over here where the, you know, the thing is popping over closer and closer down here to 0. The apex of the upside down parabola. Okay, and what this dotted line is here, this blue dotted line that comes down, that's kind of like the apex of the parabolas, okay? That's the border between beyond pinch-off and ohmic or triode region. And on that region, or on the border here, this is... On the border, we can say something here. Basically, it's the border is the place where the drain to gate voltage pinch off the channel, right? That's where V drain to gate equals minus V pinch off. So this would be V drain to gate equals minus V pinch off. Now, why did I say minus V pinch off? Because it's really V gate to drain equals V pinch off, right? Instead of VGS, it's VGD. But I want to do V drain to gate because V drain to gate is this guy right here is this guy is VDS minus VGS, right? V drain to gate would be V gate to source minus, I mean, V drain to gate. Gain to source minus V gate to source, right? Okay, is that okay? And so I'm going to take and I'm going to plug this guy in down here. And I mean, it's V drain to gate equals that, and this also equals, isn't that, that's what the drain to source voltage is, right? Well, here, am I doing that right? Let's see, V. Yeah, so I guess, this is where the V drain to gate is pinched off. So let's see, if I want to find out what the equation of that dashed line is, I'm going to put here along the dashed line, along the border, and along the border, basically VGS then equals, I can solve this for VGS. VGS equals VDS plus V pinch off, is that right?
Yes.
Did I do that right? I mean, basically, I'm taking this guy, VDS minus VGS equals minus V pinch off, right? and I grab the V pinch hop, bring him over here, the VGS, move him over there. So, so if that's the case, then I should be able to plug that in right here, right? And so what do we get here? Then we'll get ID along the border, ID equals K times VGS minus V pinch off plus V, I mean, is what is this? This is VDS plus V pinch off minus V pinch off times VDS minus VDS squared over 2, just equals K times VDS squared over 2, right? And that looks right, because this would be a parabola going up right here with the minimum right down here at 0, right? Okay, so this is the dash 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 line there, okay? That's the border. Now, the next thing we want to do is we want to think about in the beyond pinch-off region, I want to figure out what these currents are that we're actually saturating at. That kind of makes a difference, because over here it looks like a current source, because a current source is a line going across like this, right? And that current source is adjusted by changing VGS, right? Which gives me a very nice little device, which I would have, you know, a current source controlled by a voltage, right? Which is kind of like we had with the BJT, only now it's controlled with a voltage, a high impedance measurement device. A voltmeter can control how much current is flowing somewhere, right? And I'd like to know what that is. So in the saturation region, or in the BPO region, what do we have? In the BPO region, I can use this thing right here, and instead of looking for the border here, notice these guys don't depend on VDS. There's no VDS dependence in here. It's a current source, right? Doesn't matter what VDS is. It's the same number. So instead of substituting in to find this kind of a curve, I'm going to substitute in for VDS here instead of VGS. I'm going to put in the VGS value that it was, because it stayed right there at this point, whatever it was at these, that point right there at the border, right? It just stayed at that current. So I'm going to say, in this case, it doesn't matter what BDS is. ID is independent of VDS. VDS. And stays at the, and is the value at the border, right? This border right here. Right? So in that case, we can write what ID is. ID equals K times. And now, instead of substituting for VGS, I'm going to substitute for VDS, and VDS is equal to VGS minus V pinch off, right? At the border, right. VDS equals VGS minus V pinch off at the border, right? I mean, that's what it would have been, and it stays at the same value we had at where VDS was equal to VGS minus V pinch off right along the border. That current stays at the same thing all the way across, right? Doesn't matter what VDS is anymore. So I'm going to find out at the border, this is what it's going to be, and that's what it's going to be all the way across, right? So I'm going to put in here my VGS minus V pinch off. That was there from there. And now I got VDS, which is VGS minus V pinch off, right? And then I've got minus VDS squared, which is VGS minus V pinch off squared over 2. And it's like that, right? Yeah, so it's like K over 2 times VGS minus V pinch off squared. Oh, Oh, that's nice. So now we know what ID is over here in the Beyond Pinchoff region. And it depends on VGS in this way. And you can kind of see it happening here, you know. When VGS is kind of really, small, right, really close to V pinchoff, it doesn't go up very much when you increase VGS just a little bit. It goes up like this. But when you get up like here, you're going up to VGS equals zero, it might makes a big difference, right? It's going up, like this.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. This over two that we're carrying through everything,
yeah,
is not what the book uses. Does it make a difference?
It's a K, right?
Okay.
So I haven't figured out what K is yet.
Yeah.
But we can now figure out K because you can look on the curve tracer, and you can see on the curve tracer that that point right there is this IDSS, right? So let's figure out what is K. So what is K in terms of IDSS? Well, we know that ID evaluated at VGS equals zero in BPO, okay? In BPO is going to be IDSS, right? That's IDSS, which is equal to K over 2 times 0 minus VP squared, right? So that tells me that that implies that K equals, well, really all I care about is K over, well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's going to be 2 times IDSS over VP squared, right? And so now we know that ID equals IDSS over VP squared times VGS minus VP squared, right? And that's probably what the book has, I'm assuming, right? Yeah. So I couldn't remember what this thing is, and actually, I figured I'd figure it out this way. So anyway. So now we know what it is over here, and the cool thing about this is this is a voltage controlled current source, right? So, we want to try it out right away and see whether this thing could be used as an amplifier or something, right? Does that make sense? So we've got 10 minutes left. Why don't we just build an amplifier, and see if it works, right? So can we make an amplifier? A JFET amplify. Well, let's try. Okay, so I'm just going to draw the JFET here. Okay, so here's our JFET. We got to hook up some circuitry to make this amplify, right? And I want to bring it over here to the Beyond Pinchoff region because this looks kind of like a BJT area, and I was able to make a BJT work pretty well that way, right? And kind of if I use like my BJT idea, what did I do? I put a little resistor up here. I called it RC before, right? Up to this, now I'm going to call it VDD now because it's the drain power supply, not the collector power supply. And instead of calling it RC, I'm going to call it RD because it's the drain resistor now, right? But the idea is I'm going to suck current through that drain resistor and get my output voltage, like right here, right? This will be a C large, and this will be V out, the little V out right there, right? Okay, now just like the BJT, we had to bias the BJT so it was in the correct portion of the curve over there. We got to do the same thing with this guy, right? I mean, we learned how to do that before. And so let's think about what needs to be highest, lowest, and all that kind of stuff like we did, the BJT, this was highest, that was next, and that was lowest, right? But this time, this is highest, then what's next? This one, right? And then that one. Interesting. How do we make this guy lowest and that next and that guy highest? Well, yeah, very carefully. So What I'd like to do is I'd like to make this guy right here the lowest thing in the circuit, right? So I'm just going to go and I'm going to put a resistor right down here to ground. And I'm going to put my input right here. This is my VIN, right? That's where we put in our input on the gate, base before, right? So it's kind of like the gate. The gate is the thing that controls this thing, right? Now, let's think about this. I put this resistor in here, and that resistor is to tie that gate down to ground. It actually ties it down to ground, which is my lowest voltage. If I have, one voltage source, ground is the lowest, right? So this tied that to ground, and there's no current flowing in that gate, right? So what's the voltage at the gate? The DC voltage at the gate?
Zero.
So it is ground. So I got it the lowest, right? Right? So if I can just make this guy somewhere in between, then I'm good, right? How can I get to move this guy up a little bit? Well, VN is a small signal. I'm trying to think about the biasing now. The biasing is the DC voltages that are going to put this over here in this part of the graph, not over here, okay? That's what I'm trying to do, because over here it looked like I could make an amplifier pretty good, right? I mean, I could probably make a variable resistor over here, which would be cool for some things, but that doesn't amplify, really. I mean, it's just kind of a voltage-controllable resistor, which could be useful, but, it's not an amplifier. This is more exciting to me over here, right? I mean, so how can I make this a little higher than that? Remember, I got this current coming down here, right? The drain current coming down. Oh, yeah, put an emitter resistor in. Actually, we call it source resistor now, right? Yeah, I like that. Excellent idea. That's a fantastic idea, Travis. That would be great. Now let's see if we actually were able to accomplish what we wanted in the, in the curve here. By the way, I could graph this thing right here. I'm going to graph. This is VGS. And this is ID, right? And it goes like this. Here is V pinch-off right there. This is IDSS right there, okay? That's a graph of this little, doohickey here, okay? So now let's see about what did we do here. Ignore the capacitors and the V out and the V in. We're just looking at VDD and seeing where we are. There's going to be a Q point on here, an operating point, an expansion point for our Taylor series, right? And so I need to, I probably need to do some kind of a loop equation around here. Because, this is VGS right here. Right? And we got no current going up this. I'll call this resistor RG. And, you can just pick him to be whatever you want for your input resistance. I'm going to pick him equal to 1 megohm because I like a big input resistance there, right? You can pick a 10 megohms if you like. It's fine, whatever. We're making it big, right? And I'm picking that there. And then I've got this ID coming down here, right? This thing. This is my ID. ID comes down there. And this is so much easier to analyze than the transistor because there was two currents added. Here it's just one current goes right on straight through, and so it's so easy to analyze, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I could just kind of go, there's 0 volts across RG, right? So I could write here, I'm going to have 0 volts from the RG. This is the RG. Okay, 0 times RG, I could write that. That's the voltage drop there. And then I've got plus VGS. And actually, I'm doing this thing. I need one of these guys. I'm just doing a loop equation around this bottom little thing here. And I'm doing it, I want to do it for DC, so I'm thinking about the bias point. So this is really VGS, that's the DC part. So that's the part across there, plus the ID times RS equals 0, right?
Yes.
So this is the current in the gate times the gate resistor. And so I could write this as ID equals minus 1 over RS times VGS, right? Well, shoot, I can graph that. That's a line that goes through zero right here, and it comes back. It's got a slope of, this thing right here is a slope of minus 1 over RS, right? And goes through zero, and here's the solution right there. That's the Q point, or the operating point, which gives me the capital V sub capital GS right here, and the capital I sub capital D right there. Is that okay? That's what I'm going to have right here. I've got it set up. Now when I add the little AC wiggle on here, then that's going to move me back and forth. VGS is going to go back and forth like this, right? Which is going to move me up and down that curve right like that, right? Which is going to make my ID go up and down like that, right? Which is going to make my output go up and down like this, right? Does that make sense? Big wiggle, yeah, that's the idea, and it looks like it might work, right? Yeah. So I don't know. We got 1 minute left. Shall we try and do this? ID equals big I sub big D plus little I sub little d, right? Which is equal to. I'm just going to call it big I sub big D. We figured that what that is. That's this point right here, right? Plus the little I sub little d is the partial of little I sub little d with respect to little v sub little gs evaluated at the Q point. I'll put my little Q point here, Q right there, times little v sub little gs, right? This is the two terms of the Taylor series, right? So this is like, you know, it's this kind of a deal right here. Little v sub little gs comes from little v in here, right?
Oh.
I mean, okay. And this thing right here, this whole thing right here must be the little I sub little d. And I could make a little model for this thing. Here's the input. This is v in, right? I'm going to put, I would like to get rid of this thing right here. I'm going to put a C large on there just to make my small signal model easier, right? It'll make my small signal model, it will go down to ground here, right? This is the source right here. Here's VGS. And that makes, it sorts out this RS here, right?
Yes.
Kind of like I did with the VJT. And then we've got this guy goes over here to the RD, which goes to that. This is ground here, RD. And this is V out right here. And this guy, I'm going to call this guy GM. VGS, and this thing right here, I'm going to call that thing right there GM because it has units of conductance. You know, it's a kind of a remote control thing, right? It's a current that comes from a voltage. So if I take the voltage times conductance, I get current, right? And here I can just see V out equals minus GM. Times VGS, that's the current right here, times RD, right? And VGS equals VN, so that equals minus GM RD times VN, right? So here's my gain, AVO or something, right? So it's working. This is cool, okay? No, this is not on this test. So, yeah. But, you know, notice that we use the same ideas that we used before, right?
Yeah.
And that is on the test, guaranteed. Okay?
Anyway, yeah.
Come and see me if you have questions about, getting ready for the test. I will stick up on the class or D2L, whatever it is. I'll stick up the next lab handout. So if you want to have a look at that before lab, you can do that. But I know you're more worried about the exam than the lab.
Okay. So we know we can turn in labs.
You can turn in anything, yeah.
So if I were to turn in my labs again for regrading,
I don't know about
already. I would have been better off not turning either of them in until now.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I know you would have, but you would have also been banked. So I would rather have you work on ones that are not done yet.
Well, I've done all of them.
It was 10 pages.
I'm not behind in lab anymore, but I...
I'll think about it, but I'm not inclined to give you those things because, of course, you would be taking a chance, right?
Well,
I don't think most of those guys that are they're really behind, the guys that are really behind, they are missing at least 50% of everything at this point.
Are you?
And there are some people that have turned in absolutely nothing. And so what I'm trying to do is help those guys, give them a chance to get caught up. I'm really not trying to boast the GPA of everybody, and I don't think it's going to cost you guys anything. But I understand how you feel. But that's what I'm trying to do. Now, if you can figure out some way to help those guys and get their stuff done, I might give you some extra credit. That's what I need to have happen. Otherwise, you know, they're wasting their money. I told some of them that they should drop on Monday. That was the last time to get 50% back. But nobody is. So I've got to do something. So that's what I'm doing. It's not like I'm trying to, you know.
So it can't benefit us.
Well, if you have anything out, it will benefit you. And I've been kind of generous up to this point with those people who have been late.
Yes.
You know.
So, I'm simply trying to use the system.
I understand. But if you can figure out how to get those guys to turn in more stuff and let me know you did, I will give you extra credit.
All right, I'll work on that.
That would be great. Yeah, right. If you can figure out how to get some of these guys to turn in their homework, I will give extra credit.